Welcome everybody into the Benchwarmers Redemption here on Dragon Digital Radio. I am Matt Trudell, and with me,
white running back Alex Baker,
Jimmy Seaman,
Sebastian Merrick.
Jimmy is back in the building. How are you doing today, Jimmy?
Doing good. It was a good weekend. Went to my cousin's wedding. Had really good food. Open bar. And
I had a catering appointment for my wedding last night. So
I got to watch my.
What kind of catering are you getting?
Santoni's. Do you know who Santoni's is?
I don't know what that is.
They're like this like kind of gourmet grocery store slash deli slash catering company. Like right.
Okay, the catering was real bomb. They had a whole like pasta station. That was my favorite.
Yeah, we get macaroni and cheese bar.
Oh, that's. Yeah, man. I mean, it was. I don't want to know how much money these people dropped on this thing.
Yeah.
But because the whole venue was just incredible. But
where was it at?
It was in Philly. It was at like the Bluebell Country Club.
Okay.
So it's like a beautiful golf course behind the thing. It's just this really nice like decked out place. And they even like because it was on Saturday, so they even had flat screens with, like all the college football games on it.
Oh,
and stuff
see,
like
that's
that.
What I'm down. I don't think I'm gonna be able to swing that at my wedding. I'll tell you that.
Well, what's funny is they're both big Penn State fans, so they specifically made the wedding at 5 so that they can watch the Penn State game at noon.
Okay.
So that was a pretty all sly. Right. All right. But yeah, it was good. And then the Jags won. So
yeah, that was.
I had them going to the Super Bowl.
I did too. So and like it wasn't that unpopular of opinion this year.
I thought I'll tell you
had him missing the playoffs.
I did. I thought Blake Bortles was gonna come back. I just thought the LeBron comment was gonna eventually kill him. You know what I'm saying? Like
hey, he is LeBron the way he's playing.
He's LeBron the way he's playing. Stop. He doesn't abandon cities, you know? He doesn't leave them in turmoil.
I mean, I guess my whole thing was like the fall off was that it's not like he was like that great last year, so it's not like the only thing it really did is that like what's funny is he cut down his interceptions, but that's just because they threw the ball less. He still threw interceptions about the same rate,
dude. But on Sunday, but he looked good.
Oh no, that was in context of what team he played. That was the best game he's ever played.
I would agree.
He's had better statistical days where he's like, you know,
that Keelan Cole catch too.
Keelan Cole is a beast.
And I like D.D. Westbrook a lot.
No, and everybody freaked out when they lost Marquise Lee, and Marquise Lee is like their fourth best receiver.
Right.
He's just somebody the coaches like.
Yeah.
You know, but like, you know, Cole has really good straight line speed, just can make amazing catches. D.D. Westbrook's really good. I mean, D.D. Westbrook would have been a first round pick if he didn't hit a girl in the face in college. So, I mean, you know, same thing with like the Joe Mixon thing. Like, oh, good Joe Mixon looks now. Like, you know.
Right, exactly. The Oklahoma players right there, man.
Yeah, there's something in the water in Oklahoma.
Come on, Boomer Sooners.
Baker Mayfield getting in a fight with a cop.
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson. That was one of the crazier stories, like, if you remember that. When he was beating his kids, and we did, like, an interview about it, he was like, he just seemed like he was the proudest father ever. He's like, yeah, I beat my kids. Of course I do.
His kids are going to be fine, productive members of society.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's the mentality. It's like,
unlike these other kids out here. These little Tom Brady piss ants, you know what I'm saying?
Sam Darnold. Boy, your boy Sam Darnold went back to his good old roots this Sunday, throwing interceptions.
Dude, Sam Darnold's trash. Like
no,
this
not.
Man,
Stop
this
it.
Man sent me. Can I tell you? Monday night when they played Detroit,
oh,
he sent
go.
Me. I couldn't watch the game. He sent me a text message. He was like, "Sam Darnold's a beast." So I'm like, "Oh snap! Sam Darnold probably threw for like 300 yards, like three touchdowns.
Like 180.
He threw for 178 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. If
and his
that's
team won
beast
by 31.
Level."
And his team won by 31 points.
So those 178 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick.
Well,
is the
he wasn't
why
on
he
won the field that for
he
how
was
much
so
time
good
he
was that he intimidated
field.
Matt Stafford.
You know what I'm
to
Blaine
him
Gabbert had
picks.
An amazing game this
well,
past
guess,
week, and let's talk about it.
Well,
okay?
Guess what? He was barely on the field because Stafford just decided to throw picks for fun.
Okay, so
as Alex said,
Sebastian, did you watch the Browns game live?
I did. I watched.
Okay.
It was very
okay.
Very
okay. So like
painful.
When Tyrod threw that touchdown to Antonio Callaway, so like
he was dogging on Tyrod the week before. Also,
I wasn't.
I mean, Tyrod was pretty bad against the Steelers.
I said he was pretty. He had a poor performance. I still said
he
should be the starter.
A horrible performance.
Right. I said, that's what I said. But
well, first
still
of all, I will say this:
he's the goat.
Like Ben threw a lot of yards in that game, but he wasn't that much better.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that was just he had like five turnovers.
That was just an odd game. I'll say this. Like, I still think Greg Williams is like a trash defensive coordinator. But
really?
He's had maybe like one or two good defenses, and he's been a defensive coordinator in the league for like 15, 20 years.
His Rams defenses were solid. I agree with you on the Saints.
He also had a Rams defense where he had like the best.
We had to fire him. They had to fire him. If you remember, Bounty Gate came out while he was with us.
Oh, yeah. So he was barely there.
Yeah.
And ever since he's been with us, he's had good
And then he showed up with a goatee. Like, that was the funny. He's like,
no, but if you look like historically, if you look historically, he's like the Jeff Fisher of defensive coordinators.
Here we go.
Which is funny because he worked for Jeff Fisher for a while.
7-9 offense.
Here we go. I mean, basically, it was almost as bad as like the Brian Schottenheimer led offenses, where it was like 25.
Oh, come on,
20. Like,
it's not Brian. That's come on, Brian Schottenheimer and Greg Williams in the same sentence.
Kind of. Greg Williams has like one top 10 defense.
He makes the most out of the talent you give him.
Is he from Ohio?
He blitzes the most out of any defensive coordinator in the league, and he's done it when he's had like some of the best defensive lines in the league. Like when he was with the Rams, they had like Robert Quinn and Aaron Donald and Chris Long and Michael Brockers, and they blitzed like 50% of the time.
Right, and they were Tennessee, solid. Yeah,
but
they
like
were
it's
solid.
Yeah, but it's not. It's you know, I think
Greg Williams makes the most. The defense he's building right now with the Browns is top ten defense in the league.
But I think they have a lot of talent. Their linebackers are kind of trashy. Like they have good players on their team. Some of these guys finally showing up. You know,
Myles Garrett's a freak.
No, he is
Denzel
a freak.
Ward is great. Once we get Kirksey back to lead the linebackers,
it's very hard to say great in a rookie year.
Like Collins,
he had three picks his first game.
Cool. Dude, if we want to talk about great, then that means every time D'Angelo Hall played Jay Cutler, he was the best football player ever to play.
Well, so what are we supposed to do when they just have a good game?
You're allowed to have a good game. You're allowed to have a good game. I think it's ridiculous two games into his career to call him great.
I will say Myles Garrett's probably at that
point. He's been great so far.
Myles
Garrett,
10 or 11 games last year.
And he had 7 sacks.
Yeah, you know,
he said he was going to get, what, 15 this year?
15, yep. I definitely believe that. He's on pace for 15. He's on pace for 16.
I will say this. In order to get 15 or 16 sacks, you, like, absolutely need one of those, like, 3 or 4 sack games.
You need one of those stray hand helps also.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, though. The teams we could definitely get against that Jets offensive line. That's definitely possible where you could have a 3-4 sack game.
Hey, Denzel Ward might have another 3-pick night on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, I know. You would love to see that.
I would love it.
What we really need is, like, Tyrod to, like,
injure
his wrist
again. This
is
the first time I got to say. I don't know if Sam Darnold's going to be that good against my defense.
I don't think he's going to be good against any defense.
I know you don't.
I think he's going to be fine, but
I think he's going to be mediocre at best.
He thinks he's a pure bust.
I do. He looks like he's going to have some off-the-field issues. That's one thing I have to say. I'm just telling
he's
you.
He's a good kid.
Is he?
Yes.
Yeah, so was Brock Turner. You know what I'm saying?
Well, what is he doing? He's not Brock Turner. Come on, man.
He's just a wayward swimmer, you know?
Was
Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps
was
a really good kid, too.
What has he done that's shown he's a bad kid?
Look at his face. Come on. You know exactly what he looks like, bro. He looks like Ruffalo.
Okay, so we're just going to judge every human based off facial expressions now?
I mean, he's a football player. So, I mean, he's either going to hit her or do something other inappropriate to her.
Goodness.
It's the odds. It's the probability, man. You know? Just stick with Tyrod, who just promotes Toyotas.
I'll take Sam Darnold over Tyrod any day.
Of course you will. This man told me that he would trade Baker Mayfield for Marcus Mariota straight up. I said I'd do it. And then
now
the next day he's like, and a first round pick. What?
Yeah, I want your first round pick now.
No.
After what Mariota's shown,
first
round attached.
If we're talking about pure value play, like Mariota's either going to have to. He already, I think, got his fifth-year option picked up, so he's going to make, like, $19, $20 million next year.
It's ridiculous.
I mean...
It's ridiculous.
I mean, I will stand by my...
I'd rather have Zach Mettenberger. I'm going back to my Zach Mettenberger love, man.
Locker. I'll stand by my Baker Mayfield fandom, and I still think it's gonna be really good.
I think Baker Mayfield's gonna. I think Josh Rosen has the best chance to be the best quarterback.
I liked Rosen the best,
and
too.
then Baker Mayfield.
He was the actual best quarterback when he was in college.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I think right. Sam Darnold will be probably the worst out of that crew, though.
I'm literally got the exact opposite ratings.
This is all I'm saying. There is nobody who in college, in NFL history, who this includes Josh Allen and Sam Darnold, who had a turnover percentage as high as them, who has ever gone to be successful in the NFL. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't be successful. But, we're talking about, historically, ever. And, we're talking about, 50
playing
years
against
ago.
Historically terrible
defenses.
We're talking
about, 50 years ago, quarterbacks threw interceptions at such a higher rate. Because when you threw the ball, you were just, chucking it down.
Yeah, Johnny Unitas has, more picks than it.
Okay,
touchdowns.
Here's the deal to that. Obviously, that's why you have coaches.
Well, yeah.
You help.
I don't think you ever
You got
to
give
that.
Them more than a couple years. Three, especially when you take a quarterback. I'd say you can't, make, absolute judgments based off
there's a lot of statistical analysis that goes into it. If you're not good after two years, you're not good. There ain't a lot of guys in history of the NFL. The whole 30 game sample size is usually a pretty good
it is, but there's some outliers. If you want to do the two game thing, there are some outliers.
But even the best of the outcomes are Rich Gannon.
Eli Manning's probably
Rich Gannon was good for the last 5 years of his career, but Jim Plunkett won two Super Bowls, but he also different era, different time.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think I always like Baker. I like Josh Rosen.
If
Josh Rosen doesn't start this week, somebody ought to slap.
Dude, that was a bad game last week.
I'll say this though. I like the place where Darnold is. I think the Jets is one of the best possible places he can land. I'm gonna tell you why. Josh McCown, I don't think you could have a perfect backup leader than Josh McCown. Here comes that Brown love again, man.
Well, that's all it is.
No,
everything directly goes back to Cleveland and their sauerkraut and American food.
But I'm telling you, he's
second best hospital.
It is. Look it up. But Josh McCown, he's going to be a quarterback's coach, maybe probably a head coach once he retires. Jeremy Bates is one of the best young offensive minds in the game right now. He's their O coordinator. I think he's in a very good spot to be successful.
They should bring Urban in to show respect for women.
Oh my goodness.
Because he believes in respect for women.
That's why I get everything.
He loves he thinks Urban Meyer did everything. Urban Meyer does nothing wrong. He doesn't harbor murderers on Florida.
At the end of the day, it's clear that one thing about Urban Meyer, we don't have to get too into this. He can say that he didn't know anything. He clearly did. I don't think that should be a fireable offense.
Isn't that exactly what I just said? Last show.
But he clearly is lying.
He should be fired.
I wish it would be accepted. See, the problem is that, at least in Urban Meyer's eyes and whoever represents him, his agent, they think that if he straight up came out and said, I was lying, that he would just automatically get fired.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be the case. He should be able to come out and be like, all right, I fucked up.
It's okay. I got you. It's okay. I got you. I'm gone soon anyways.
Yeah. it's like why
made the announcement.
why does he get bonus points? Why does he get he gets to keep his job if he lies through
it's
his teeth?
Yeah. Because
he wins football games. That's all it is.
Well, here's the other thing. I don't even think I think Urban Meyer is a big presence, but at least for this year, their interim Ryan Day could probably just win as many.
Ryan Day is a genius.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
He is.
Did he used to work at the Apple Store?
I don't know, but he's in the three games. He completely outcoached Gary Patterson against TCU. That's why we won that football game.
Ohio State has more talent than TCU, though.
Facts.
Okay, but the schemes he draws, he's the one. Doing
I am
all
of
the
opinion that there's
schemes.
That there's maybe four or five college coaches that are in very big time major programs. That are not replaceable, most people.
Ohio State's pretty self-sustainable.
It's one of those things where these coaches get these huge extensions. it's kind of like Bill Self at Kansas, right?
Yeah,
how they kind of always seem to just like it's like okay, they have success, but like, who wouldn't have? Like, how bad would you have to be to not have success at Ohio State?
Yeah.
Ask Luke Fickell that.
You know, they should just hire Greg Schiano to be there.
Yeah, that's exactly. 2 years, 6-6 each year. Goodbye. Now head coach. He might not even be. I don't know if he's still the head coach of Cincinnati. He might have been fired there, but
let's look him up.
There's a lot of people who have been the coach of Cincinnati that have gotten Brian Kelly and
Jones. He did well there.
Butch Jones.
Oh, Butch Jones. Good old Butch Jones.
Yeah, Luke Fickell. He might still be the head coach of Cincinnati, but yeah, he's an Ohio State failure.
But it's like, think about like
right after Jim Trussell.
Think about how like how much Bob Stoops was like, oh my God, Bob Stoops is this great, and then like Lincoln Riley comes in, does the exact same. Right. Like how many Cincinnati. How many of these teams could
promote, he's still with them?
How many of these teams could promote from within and be exactly the same?
Well, I don't know, but Lincoln Riley might be head of the NFL soon.
Well, yeah, it's because he's such an X's and O's guy. I think college
I'll
is all about.
This. What about the Browns? If you love Baker so much, you can pair him up with his college coach. And then
they just need to get rid of Hugh Jackson. They should have got rid of Hugh.
Really?
I like Hugh.
That's only what I've been saying.
I like
for...
Hugh. Hugh's the GOAT.
First of all,
have to say that.
Trust me. He's like,
and I know he's trolling me whenever he says that. That's the worst
the man.
Part.
He's the man.
Okay, I will say I thought Hugh Jackson was like a good hire for the Browns when they first got him because I thought he got done dirty in his time in but it's like the dude doesn't even know what's going on with his own. Like, think about this. He didn't know about the Antonio Callaway thing. He didn't know about the Josh Gordon thing. What's the other thing?
Zane Gonzalez.
Yeah, he didn't know about his Zane. Like, he doesn't know what's going on in his own team. And then, like, when I actually, like, watched Hard Knocks, it even confirmed more to me. I was like, this guy is just, like, clueless.
Did you see when Josh Gordon arrived? He's like, the bird has arrived. And then Todd Haley.
I don't watch Hard Knocks.
And then Todd Haley, the actual professional in the room who should be our.
What?
He's the actual professional in the room who should be our new head coach.
Wait, wasn't he the.
Like,
no, never mind.
Is like, is he fit? That's what he is. He was like, oh, I'm so excited that I'm the bird is here. Josh Gordon. Like, first off, what kind of nickname is that for Josh Gordon, the bird? Like, what?
He's and so then, bird,
I thought
man.
He was the albino tiger. He only shows up, like, every once in a while.
Like, you're mad as hell when he's on New England just killing it. Like,
oh, no, he's
going to have to And Bill will let him do whatever.
He's going to get cut in, like, two weeks. They had to trade him,
but they really botched that, man. You can't come out and say you're going to cut somebody and then be like, oh, wait, no, we want to trade him.
Well,
and
I mean,
then
that was a smart move.
That was a smart
six
move.
Pick. Like, you could have got
fifth
something
rounder.
Better for him. Fifth rounder. I think you could have got something better for Josh Gordon.
Probably not.
No.
There's desperate teams out there.
Not. Absolutely.
You don't think Dallas would give him something better?
Well, here's the deal. We weren't going to ever.
With that, whatever they're plotting out.
Here's what happened. The 49ers, Cowboys, and Redskins both offered seventh round picks according to Schefter.
Yeah.
And we wanted to trade him to an NFC team. However, the Patriots also offered a seventh round team, but they were willing to step it up to a fifth.
Isn't it set up though where
they get a seventh back if he doesn't?
If he doesn't,
they send New England a seventh if he doesn't play. He's not on the roster for
10
games.
Yeah, yeah.
He's gonna be on the roster this week, so that counts as one.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say this: watching the Patriots games
still get
last
the fifth,
week,
so I'm
they're gonna get Edelman back, but it's pretty clear like
they need wide receivers.
Josh
they don't have a guy like
them.
They had with Brandon Cooks last year, who's just somebody who can get downfield. Like, Philip Dorsett is like fast, but he's not anything special. And it's just I understand people think that, like, and I actually think Chris Hogan is like better than people think. Like, he's one of those like deceptively fast.
I just here we go. That's how we explain white people in the NFL.
Well,
that's
just
exactly
like, I mean,
what
happened. Fast. Like, why is he deceptively fast? Like, the dude ran like a 4.4 when he was
in
college. Like,
I'm all for. I have a one white wide receiver on a team rule. Like, you can't have more than one white wide receiver.
Anyways,
hustles.
But it's just like it's like I know. There's people think that like the Patriots can make like you know. Chicken soup out of you know, but it's like at the end of the day, like you need to have like some sort of weapons, and especially it's just like Tom Brady's 41 years old, he ain't getting any younger. Like
Josh Gordon will be great for them.
I mean,
if he
plays,
can stay on the
field, I will say this about
Josh
Gordon.
Great for them.
We're starting to get to the point where it's been 5 years since he's been like really
right.
Good. Like even in something like he's come back and played a couple of games here and there.
He's
and,
played
and
a
he,
total
and even,
of
Even in that Steelers-Browns game, he only really showed up for that one catch. But, like, that one catch that he had in the end zone is, like, the reason you're like, oh, damn, like, Josh Gordon. Like, I mean, the guy is just, like, a physical freak, too. And so, and, you know, and the Patriots probably see it as, you know what, we can get 10 games out of this guy, but we only need him to show up for, like, three or four of them. Because that's what they need against the Jags. Like, they just kept throwing the ball over the middle field because nobody could get open on the outside.
Yeah.
And even – and they get a good – like, it's just – it's one of those things where – yeah, Tom Brady is great, but, like, he does need, like, weapons at the end of the day. And I understand he's probably the best tight end of all time. No. But if they're gonna win the AFC this year, and you know, they still can, but it's just it's harder when you don't have, like, that kind of
thing. Do you think sliding to the Cowboys, because we briefly talked about them, what's your thoughts on Dak now? Because I'll tell you, I had a friend who the year that he dethroned Romo was like, Dak's going to dethrone Romo. And it ended up happening because Romo gets injured. And I was like, Dak Prescott's not that good. He's just not. He had some early success.
He's limited.
He's good, but I will say this. He has no receivers.
Agree now, but I...
He has no receivers who can make plays down the field. And Tavon Austin. Dez wasn't that guy when he was there last year. And like, they just... And so they're just so limited and like... Like, they had that one Tavon Austin throw, right?
Yeah.
But Tavon Austin, as we've seen his whole career, like...
Boomer bust.
In spurts.
Yeah. He'll have, like, a, you know, but he's not a consistent, reliable, like, receiver. And their offensive line, especially with Frederick having, I don't quite know what kind of, like, illness or disease he's battling now. And in that case, you don't. You just hope the guy is better at, like, but, you know, they don't have the same offensive line that they had before. The defense has been pretty good the first 2 weeks, but I just think they haven't played offenses that are
agreed
that good. Like the Panthers tend to be pretty boom or bust with Cam. And it's just
he respects women.
Like the Cowboys have a couple good defensive players, but they're not like a top notch defensive unit. And so I mean I think like
all
like,
they'll say is
I kinda wish Dak had like a I know it's an extreme, but like a Tyreek Hill type of guy. You know, because I think he probably wants to throw the ball downfield. But it's just it's hard when your receivers are like Allen Hurns and Cole Beasley and Terrence Williams, who none of these guys are guys who are, you know, gonna make plays downfield. And then it shrinks your offense. That's why speed is so important in the NFL. Just having a guy who can run down the field 40 yards and just make people go
back
there and go.
That's why you have all these players who couldn't catch in college but were fast, they get drafted. You know,
I mean,
like Hayward Bay, Torrey Smith.
Torrey Smith was
Perriman,
Torrey
who's now
was
Redskin.
One of the most valuable players when he was with the Ravens, not only because he just ran a bunch of deep routes, he would draw like 9 or 10 pass interference penalties a year, and it would total up for like 500 yards.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, like that should be added on to someone's stats.
Yeah.
Because like drawing a 50-yard pass interference is a 50-yard play.
Yeah.
So
penalty
I mean,
yards allotted.
Okay. I think the Giants are just
– I don't think Dak's good. I'll tell you that. I like – to me, the most notable thing he's ever done in his career was get knocked out at that concert.
I think Dak is going to be maybe like Andy Dalton.
I feel like Andy Dalton's going to have a better career than Dak.
I don't know about
that.
I think as we're in the discussion of like the pantheon of quarterbacks, like 3 or 4 years from now, where Andy Dalton went, and Andy Dalton probably dropped off people's boards a little bit after they missed the playoffs for 2 straight years. But when they were like made the playoffs 5 straight years and they lost, we were still like, well, Andy Dalton's pretty good, especially when Andy Dalton had, you know, Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu and AJ Green and Tyler Eifert and, you know, and everybody fully healthy.
Tyler Boyd is a great receiver. He's very underrated.
They're good now, but I mean.
You use the word great.
Yeah,
way too much, bro. Like,
Bills fans will call him great.
Right, exactly. Dude. No, Bills will have him in the Hall of Fame.
You know what the Bills have done?
This you should get inducted into Buffalo Hall of Fame. That's what Tyler.
The Bills have
do.
Somehow surrounded Josh Allen with not only the worst receiving core in the league,
right,
but the worst offensive line in the league. And they traded their only good offensive lineman to the Bengals, who like had terrible luck at left tackle this year.
And I think a washed Shady McCoy.
I'm on team shape.
He's too busy hiring people to attack
washed.
Women.
I mean, I just think it's
he
like
a fall guy.
How are you supposed to be productive when you're down 21-0 in the first quarter?
Well, I mean, that's going to be almost every Buffalo game. But
I feel bad for their defense because they had like
zero,
a top
zero,
five defense
dude,
last year.
Not
almost
that good.
Nothing changed from their defense, and now it's like
I feel bad for Nathan Peterman.
I don't.
Of course you do.
They didn't give him enough time to progress before also, they threw him out.
Like you of course, you'd rather have him over Sam Darnold, wouldn't you?
No. No.
Let's see. We're making progress.
I think Darnold's better than a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL. I just don't think he's that good.
You have to give props to now Tyrod Taylor because he took this.
I'm trying to tell people.
Terrible offense to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't great.
And they would have had you don't know if they would have solidified that spot, but like if they didn't pull that nonsense where they benched him for Nathan Peterman for a quarter, who knows? It's ridiculous.
And they signed McCarron, and you're like, okay, well, I'm not the biggest AJ McCarron fan, but he's at least had a more respectable career. Also, another thing McCarron the Browns did that was stupid, Hugh Jackson wanted to trade a second and a third for McCarron, and they didn't even know that he was going to be a free agent after the year. So they would have traded a second and third for a guy who they could have just signed in free agency and not having to give up anything for. That was
when you know, you know.
And it had to be stopped because of, a paperwork,
we didn't turn the paperwork in time. That's
just insanity, but,
Yeah, welcome to life as a Browns fan. I don't know how many more times. It's brutal.
Doug Marrone in a season and two games of coaching has already surpassed Gus Bradley's total win record in Jacksonville. So,
well, he surpassed Hugh Jackson after 2 weeks in his first season. How about that?
I mean, it's just Gus Bradley had the worst. Worst winning percentage all time for a coach who coached for 4 years.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackson is nowhere near as good as Gus Bradley. Hugh Jackson is a disgrace.
Don't
think. Everything about winning, Hugh Jackson, what he stands for, it's rude to us Cleveland fans that have to sit there and watch him every single week just lose and lose, not knowing what the hell he's doing. It's disgraceful.
You don't think he knows what he's doing? He's coach. His team, if it wasn't for the fact that he has a bad kicker,
the bird has arrived.
Would have been 2-0. 2-0, man.
All he has to do is win like 3 games this year to pass.
He
Gus
treats
Bradley.
His dude. He'd be, he yeah. doesn't like. He's scared to yell at his players. He treats his players like little pets. Thursday. It's embarrassing.
These new age players need to be coddled.
You know what they need? They need to trade a couple firsts for John Green.
Maybe they're fattening up from all the sauerkraut and American food.
I mean,
eating.
It's just. I can't
That's,
stand
was a
the
topic
guy.
Of one episode where we were asking why Cleveland was so great, and he said because they have the better food than Maryland, and I said, what food do y'all got? And what? He said, sauerkraut and American food.
Welcome to Cleveland. You go if you go.
And you can get the second.
I actually like Cleveland as a city.
You can get the second best x-ray in all the land.
Mm-hmm. Well, you haven't gone yet.
You can get a bunch of American food here.
He didn't want to hear that, though.
I actually kind of like Cleveland as a city. Like, I like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I like that.
They
it's
let
like
those
big,
hippity hoppers in there, though.
I like that it's like a sports town. You know,
disgrace to me.
I
appreciate that.
You know, like people, like a lot of people, like want to talk sports. It's Baltimore is not as big of a sports town.
Oh no, it's, nowhere it's, near.
You know,
I mean, yeah. They when they back in the day
and DC is such a every so much stuff is going on in DC that
right. it's just, there's a, you can't really focus in on
yeah I mean Cleveland yeah. same thing with Philly like I was in Philly this past weekend and the same mall they had like 4 different sports memorabilia shops like you would think like this is like some sort of like competitive thing but
yeah
it's like around Maryland like you can't even find a lot of these anymore.
Well, there's so right. many. That the other
if you
problem
go to
with
the
Maryland,
mall, not just Philadelphia and Cleveland, but Chicago. I know Chicago's also got a lot, but if you go around the city of Chicago, I can't like one of every 5 stores. It's like Cubs gear.
Yeah,
nonstop Cubs
well,
gear.
Well, the one of the problems with Maryland in general when it comes to sports is there's so much. Like you have University of Maryland and all their sports programs that let you down every year. You got the Nationals, you got the Ravens, you got the Redskins, you got the Orioles, you got all this stuff. You got the second best arena football team in all the land.
Oh, and the number one.
And the number one football team in all the land.
They spent the first 20 minutes of one episode just talking about the Arena Bowl.
# Tom Grady.
Unbelievable.
You guys. But I will say this.
But you guys want to talk about CFL?
CFL is better than the Arena League.
Sports here. So, like. For the most part,
and we don't talk 20 minutes
histories,
about it.
People haven't cared about the Capitals around
facts.
The like
the until
the
Russians
years,
took over.
Like, the Rock the Red movement and like them being obviously being good helps, but they
yeah.
weren't good for a very long time.
Yeah.
The Wizards bullets were
trash.
They they've had like 5 40-win seasons in like 35 years.
Yeah.
All of which have come like somewhat recently.
2003-01, I believe.
Yeah. They had a good season here with like Chris Webber when he was randomly on the team and like Juwan Howard. So they haven't been that good. The Nationals have just come here in the last, you know.
2006?
2005.
Yeah, they had a very disappointing season.
Yeah.
Your Mets had a very disappointing season. No one hear you talk about it. He thought the Mets were going to win the division by 10 games.
Well, I will say this. When they got off to
I looked like a genius after the first month, too.
They were like eight. There was so much stuff that was like unsustainable. Because I remember the Nationals they were like played 20. The Mets. And the Mets swept them in the first series. And it was like, okay, like. I was like, what is, like, unsustainable of this? I'm like, let's see. Like, who are, like, all their best hitters right now? It's like, oh, Todd Frazier's hitting, like, 360. Astrubal Cabrera's hitting, like, 380. Right. You just know also with them that, like, some one of their pitchers is just going to get hurt. And,
well,
like,
here's the deal. Once Cespedes went down, that's when it just completely collapsed.
Yeah.
He's the mold that keeps the Mets together.
They don't really have
one of the better bats in MLB.
He wears balance bracelets.
Yeah, the thing with the Nationals is, like, what happened this year is that if you look individually at, like, a lot of their people's seasons, even especially Harper now that he's been, like, hot as heck the last month, if you just look at their stats, you'd be like, oh, man, Harper had a really good season. Trey Turner had a really good season. Anthony Rendon, Juan Soto, and Steven Strasburg, and Max Scherzer was Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, but then you just look at, like, there were so many points where, like, one of these guys was, like, injured. They just, like... And it was just one of those things. Like, they have, like, a positive, like, 75, like, run differential. And the Phillies, who are ahead of them by, like, a couple games, are negative 10.
Do you miss Dusty Baker?
What?
Do you miss Dusty Baker?
I think that was really been overblown. Like, for all the stuff, like, their problems this year have been really all been injuries for the most part. And I don't, like, what does Dusty Baker do? Like,
I know you're not a fan of Dusty Baker,
It's not that I don't like him. I think there's value to...
I think Dusty's good.
I think there's value to having a manager that is, like, really well-liked and is, like, a player's... Because I think being a baseball manager is 80% of it, especially during the regular season, probably, like, 90. It's just managing egos.
Yeah.
You know, being able to tell people... Like, right now there's a bunch of stuff coming out of the Dodgers clubhouse because they do a bunch of their... You know, if we're facing lefties, we'll play these guys. We're playing, like, platoon types of switches. And it's hard to tell guys, like, you're not going to play every day. You've got to only play against, like, righties or lefties.
Yeah.
It takes a certain personality, but he just – I like it's just, Ron like, Washington. Time and time again in the postseason, he just makes, like – and if the Nationals' ultimate goal was to win the World Series, and they're not going to go to the playoffs this year – then they need someone who's more tactical than Dusty Baker. That doesn't mean Dustin Bieber isn't good. Like, I think if you put Dusty Baker on, like, a rebuilding team especially, and, like, or a team that just needed to get out of, like, a long playoff drought, like, you know, so it's just tactically, like, for 2 years watching him manage in the playoffs and being in one series outmanaged by Dave Roberts and another series outmanaged by
Joe Maddon.
Like, think about, like, Terry Francona, right? Like, Terry Francona isn't seen as, like, the greatest, like, regular season you know, manager.
I think he's the best manager in baseball because of how he handles players'
Cleveland
egos.
Guy, isn't he?
Is he not the best manager in baseball? Seriously. Is he not the best manager
in
baseball?
He's in the toughest division.
That is very true. Very true. I love your Tigers.
I love Alex's little chime-ins. Like, they're always... Yeah. They're not often.
Hey, your
but
Tigers
just
beat us. They won the series against us.
I mean, I will say this about the Indians. A lot of people thought, like, oh, man, they're going to drop off a lot next year if they lose some guys. I mean... They'll probably freaking win the division again.
They're not going to drop off because they're going to win the division for like the next 3 years at least. We'll and then I mean, until the White Sox
rebuild.
The White
Sox will be the next person to challenge them. But yeah. I mean, it's. And that was one thing during the Nationals really helpful.
Hey, we got Gardy.
Everybody in their division just sucking for most of the time. Like, there's like. That's the one thing I always felt bad for the Orioles when they were competing is like. They could never go a season where they didn't have, like, three other teams in the AL East, like, competing.
All right, my last question before I have to go. Do you think Juan Soto is 19?
Yeah.
I heard a lot of people say he's not 19.
I mean, there's, like, definitive proof that he's 19.
All right.
The only person who said that
he's
was...
He's a birther.
What?
He's a birther.
the only person who said that was, like, the Braves.
Joe
and
Simpson.
Like, and it was just,
yep.
Yeah, they have a terrible broadcast anyways, but...
Dude, the best broadcast in the business is the Tigers broadcasters.
Mario Pemba, Rod Allen. Shout out to
you.
Did you hear about them fighting each other? You didn't hear about that? They're suspended for a year.
Because
they got in a fist fight.
Yeah, the fist fight. One of them tried to choke each other. One other guy
on air.
Not on air, but it was like before.
It was before a game, and they're both suspended for a year because they tried to kill each other
over
over a chair.
And they're suspended a year.
A year.
Rod Allen tried to choke the other guy out.
I can't believe you haven't heard about that.
I've never heard about that.
Sebastian sends me the weirdest stories ever through text message, but you didn't hear about that.
I never heard about that.
Front page of every sports news.
Wow. That is so. That's I've amazing. Seen Kirk Gibson do a lot of broadcasts lately.
Yeah, we're having Kirk Gibson. I think John Keating. He does like Red Wings and Tigers games all the time.
So. Okay,
I will say this: the Nationals broadcast is pretty terrible. But
My God, I know JP Santangelo or whatever his name is.
I'm he loves
that. That dude
Santangelo.
Needs to just like. FP Santana, that's what. Oh, I hate that guy.
Indians broadcast
he's the worst.
Is pretty bad.
And I'm not saying that the Orioles is much better. Gary Thorne was
awesome. Any of the color commentators were like, I'm one of the real baseball guys.
Dude, the Orioles are so bad. Everybody's like, Mike Bordick should be the head coach. I've heard that like for months now. They're like, well, Mike Bordick sounds like what he's talking about.
I don't think Cal wants to do. Like, I think Cal would come if like they were like a team that was gonna.
If they were a team, yeah. If he could just hop on
the
coattails, they're trash.
God damn.
Oh, they're trash. They're trash. But hey, at least we had Manny for half a year. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the worst because.
I will.
Matt Patricia.
Matt Patricia's a beast.
That's going successful.
All right, Sebastian. I will tell them your picks.
All right. I'll be there for the full episode tomorrow or next week.
Okay.
No matter what.
Okay.
If that means I have to skip class, so be it.
Okay. YOLO. That's the kids say.
Yeah, class doesn't really matter. That's the important things in life.
Alex.
Oh.
We said no girls in our club. It's like.
Siri was confused for a second.
So. Some NFL stuff real quick. I really had high hopes for the Steelers this year. Now, it doesn't look like things are going that well, not just because they're losing, but because of, you know, Le'Veon. And, which honestly, it's going to sound crazy, but I'm Team Le'Veon right here, man. I
think the one thing he did where he messed up is where he apparently told his teammates, like, no matter what, I'm going to be back on the Wednesday.
And the tweets. I think the tweets are a little much.
Well, and it was also like, he'd been tweeting and speaking for himself for months. And then when he didn't show up, it was his agent who was talking for him. Like, it's just one of those, like, the small things. But no, like, it's like, you know what? Like, he'd be. First of all, I think the franchise tag shouldn't exist. You know, it's just. Because, like, what the Steelers want to do, for the most part, is they wanted to have him on his rookie deal for 4 years, then franchise him twice, and then let somebody else pay for, like...
Yeah.
And so, this is the only leverage players have. And people can say, well, if he showed up, like, you know, he'd be getting paid and wouldn't be an issue. But it's also like, well, if the Steelers just would have paid him...
Yeah.
You know, and...
I think he's... I mean, the amount that he gets used by the Steelers, he's right. Like, I mean,
well, also,
lock it up
like,
or don't.
What he was asking for... was less than what Gurley ended up getting. Now, Gurley's contract reset the market completely.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you would have just done this, or same thing with the Kirk Cousins and Redskins situation. Like, what they originally had to offer him wasn't that much. But for 2 years, after just, you know, disrespecting him and just like, I mean, I guess it comes down to how, like, and at this point, I was like, you know what, if you're at least be like the Raiders, and if you're not going to pay the dude, at least trade him to somebody who will.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, it's tough because, like, at the same time, he's going to miss out on, like, half his salary this year.
Yeah.
If he sits out until, like, week 10.
But I think he's – I think
– he's trying to play the long
he's
game.
Good at – yeah. Like, I mean, that makes sense to me because we watched Ray Rice get used a ridiculous amount by Rutgers and then came right to Baltimore, and they pretty much did the same thing, not to the extent that Rutgers was doing with
him.
But
Le'Veon
like,
Bell was a guy who came out after his senior year. Like
yeah.
It's not like he was a guy who came out after like his junior year. Yeah, I think for running backs
from
in college football,
fine, outstanding institution.
Running backs in college football should be able to come out after their sophomore year, after 2 years of school. Like, the guy this year would be, like, Jonathan Taylor for Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Who, like, Wisconsin runs their running backs into the ground.
Go BYU.
You know? that was a bad loss.
Dude, that was an awesome
texted
loss.
Me.
Put some respect on BYU's. I don't even like BYU, but I've been forced to like BYU because a couple years ago, West Virginia and BYU played at FedEx Field, and they gave West Virginia all that they could handle. And this man was like, oh, you struggled against BYU. Little do you know, a week or two later, they play Michigan State, beat Michigan State. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, BYU. So now every time BYU's playing and they're about to upset people, I'm on his phone like, what's up? Like, like how you feeling right now?
Speaking of FedEx Field, I went to the Maryland-Texas game.
Oh, yeah? Opener. Oh, yeah?
A lot of people there, weren't there?
Oh, my God. Like, I was amazed because, like...
Was there or was
no.
that
a sarcastic? It was like...
I just figured Texas would travel, but I guess they're not happy with their
I assumed it was going to be, like, half Texas people.
I figured that, too.
Especially because I was like, all right... And what sucks is, like, if they had had that game in College Park, which probably, like, seats, like, what, like 50,000 people about, that place would have been packed, especially because it would have given... Because I've been to games at College Park where, like, playing, like, Rutgers and it's almost full, you know? So playing Texas, like, you would have got... Because it's just easier, like, access for students and stuff like that and things like that. But
that's crazy because, like...
So FedEx Field holds, like, 85, 90,000 people. Yeah. I didn't expect it to be... filled to the brim.
Yeah.
But like there was like 40,000 people there maybe like at like the middle of the game, and then they had the weather delay, which I stuck around through, and the game didn't resume for like another hour and a half. And at that point there was like nobody there. It seemed like it was after like a rain delay in baseball. But yeah, even during the game, like, I mean, the upper decks were almost clear.
Yeah. They have to do that. Yeah, you know, Texas is a big fan base. It's like West Virginia. Whenever we play, we never play at the Terp Stadium.
There was even a West Virginia Maryland game I didn't go to, but it was at M&T Bank.
Yeah,
and that game was almost there. Like sold out.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah, and then we played in. Yeah, I was at that game. I left early because we got slaughtered by Maryland. It was the first time in like 15 years that Maryland beat West Virginia. It was the rough years of our life. I left. It was raining. It's the first game that I've ever been to in rain where I was like, oh, my God, this rain sucks. Like, normally I'm like, you know, your team's winning. You're like, oh, yeah, rain. And then it's like all of a sudden you're getting slaughtered.
So I also I haven't told you this, but I'm probably going to go to the West Virginia-Oklahoma State game in West Virginia this year.
Oh, yeah?
Make a trip up to Morgantown.
Nice.
I've never been.
You've never been? Oh, no. Dude, go tailgating.
Yeah.
Maybe
definitely, and yeah, I'm doing it the week after I go to the Chiefs Jags game too, in Kansas City. So
that's dope, man.
Yeah, you're getting around. You know what, man? Like,
I will tell you something. It is. It's been years since I've been there, but it is an experience. Like
I've only been to Maryland college football games.
Oh yeah, different. It's different. Yeah. Like you're gonna be in like awe there. I remember when I was at West Virginia, I had a friend that went to Maryland. He's like, Maryland's such a better party school than West Virginia. So I was like, all right, when I come back on break, let's go to a party. We went to a party. It was an okay party. But I was like, dude, it's like, it's not. It
doesn't compare.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. Oh, sure. Like, people are nuts in West Virginia because there's nothing to do there other than West Virginia football, West Virginia basketball, and drinking. Like, and it is just, when I was there, 7% of Anheuser-Busch's sales came from Morgantown, West Virginia. Just Morgantown, West Virginia. Not the state of West Virginia, Morgantown, West Virginia. 7%. And you think, oh, that's not that big. Total sales. Like, that's for one town. That's crazy.
Hopefully, Javon Carter is done with his sophomore year.
Javon Carter, that's my man. You know, dude, I'm worried about next year basketball wise because not having Dax, not having Javon Carter, like it's a lot's going to rest on Issa Ahmad's shoulders, and I just don't know if he has it.
Yeah, it's funny about West Virginia football. It feels like every year they start off like 4-0.
Oh yeah, of course.
And then they like go play like Oklahoma. I know they play Oklahoma.
You know who kills us? You know who kills us?
Kansas State.
We played them this weekend, and last year we beat them, but, like, Kansas State finds a way to beat us, Texas finds a way to beat us. Like, it's all the teams that you don't expect. And then, of course, then we'll, you know, play Oklahoma, and we'll be in it for a half, and then I actually – it's rough. I the Titans changed my whole view on everything because I was going into this year, and I was like, I don't really know where to gauge where the Titans are going to be solely because of the new coach. Yeah. But I was like, I really think, like, we could really make a push for things. because I like our offensive coordinator. I thought that he was the right pick for Marcus Mariota. However, that was me assuming that Marcus Mariota wants to be a professional football player. And after the 8 games in week 1 that we played, it felt like. Like, I've really, like, that's the other thing is, like, people are like,
That would have frustrated me.
People are like, you're so irrational. You're only 2 games into a season. I feel like we're halfway through the season. Like, that was the longest day of my life just to watch this man give up. Like, Marcus Mariota is done to me. Like, he could come out and throw for 35 touchdowns and, like, 2 picks the rest of the year, and I'm still like, you never know with this guy.
So I don't think – so you're not picking the Titans this week?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You were so optimistic.
And I was like – at the beginning of the season, I was like, okay, so we'll come out and we'll beat the Dolphins and we'll set the tone. No. I don't think it's Vrabel's fault. Like, I like Vrabel. I'll be flat out honest with you.
He's not the worst Patriot.
I think after losing a game that we should have won,
I don't even think he
to come back and find a way with Blaine Gabbert to win a game we should have lost. Gabbert. Like, you got to give him credit for that.
The Blaine train.
Hey, look, I told Sebastian this. I said, I just want a quarterback that wants to play football. If that happens to be Blaine Gabbert, we're going to suck.
Gabbert.
Yeah. I don't care, man. All right? He's a backup quarterback. Do we really need to put respect on his name? Like, all he does is hand the ball off. He threw 20 times. Like, did you see he got the penalty for throwing that? Now, that ended up being a good play at the end of the day. But still, it's like, how do you pronounce his last name?
Gabbert.
Gabbert.
Yeah, there's no Rhett.
Gabbert. I don't care. Call him Blaine Gabbert.
When he throws for over 250 yards, then you'll correct yourself.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Look, I give him all the credit. I think he didn't turn the ball over, which is something we can't say about Marcus Mariota. He wanted to be out there.
Oh, he's in for some booze when he comes into Jacksonville.
You want to hear something, man? And this is what drove me crazy. It's like, I read an article the other day about, they were like, once we found out that Marcus wasn't playing on Sunday, they were like, he came to the team and gave us a great speech. You're not getting paid to make speeches. Get on the, like, here's my thing. Week 1, he throws a pick. It was a bad pick, right? Then he gets hit. Then the very next throw, after a weather delay, he comes out and throws a pick on a screen. It was a horrible pick. I don't know if you've seen the highlight. It was terrible. Like, he had Deion Lewis here, and Deion Lewis is short, and he threw it over Deion Lewis right. It was terrible.
How do you feel about their uniforms?
I like them. I do.
I don't know how to feel about them.
I like the helmets are I'm a little undecided on, but I like the uniforms. I do. But frankly, I don't care. Like, we could wear pink as if we just need to win. Like, yeah. I really think.
No, I got you.
One thing I said about the Orioles, when the Orioles switched back to the cartoony bird, I was like, I hate that. But if we start winning baseball games, I'm going to shut up about it. Last night, they wore Braille uniforms. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
Did you see my Facebook status about it recently?
I didn't.
I was like, the Orioles are so bad this year that they have to market to blind people. And then I said, hashtag come for the smells. Because, like, you're not watching the game, you know? Like, so.
Well, I mean, those were made so that Joe West and Angel Hernandez could.
But I just, with the Mariota situation. So he, after that second pick, right, he starts going like this, right? And I'm like, oh, God, here we go. Hamstring Jones again, you know what I'm saying? So he takes himself out the game. Doesn't take his pads off. And the whole rest of the game, with his throwing arm, he's high-fiving people. If you can high-five, you can try to throw a football. That's all I'm saying, right? So that drives me crazy. So then after the game, he comes out and says, I probably should have thought harder about taking myself out of that game. That enraged me, because we lost to the Dolphins in, like, a 19-hour game, and you should have thought harder. You had, like, 8 hours to make that decision. But anyways, that okay. So then the week leading into this past week, he's talking about Vrabel comes out and is like, Mariota's healthy. Cool. Yeah. All right. He can make up for what happened last week. We're going to need him against Houston this week. Then 2 days later, Vrabel comes out and says, Gabbert and Mariota are going to both play.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mariota's not playing. I knew it. I was like, Mariota's not playing. So then the day after that happens, Mariota goes, Well, I still have some tingling in my hand. I go, oh, yeah, he's not playing. I knew he wasn't playing. Houston should have known he wasn't playing. Like, there's no way. No one's ever sitting there and saying, hey, we should run dual quarterbacks with Blaine Gabbert and Marcus Mariota. Like, no one says that. No one's like, we should give them both burn. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's as ridiculous as Alabama letting Jalen Hurts play any quarterback this year, like, in my opinion. So I knew he was playing. So then I'm like, okay, just make him inactive. Just let him focus on getting his arm. And then he stands there and suited up as our backup quarterback, high-fiving people. I'm like, I hate this man. He's done. Everybody wants to get on Vontae Davis. At least Vontae Davis tried for a half. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just done. He doesn't want to play football. I would much rather have the Jake Lockers of the world where we know are trash and we've reached on them, right, than the guy that has all this promise but just always makes
Jake
excuses.
Locker not really want to play football either.
He didn't. He eventually didn't. He turned down backup offers.
Yeah.
I mean, but at least he came out and was like, hey, I'm not that good, but I'm going to try. Like, and Mariota's like, well, I got all this promise, but my elbow, my hamstring, my dad, you know, like, he looked great in the first quarter against the Dolphins. And then after that, he was like, he can't throw. Here's the issue, right? I figured it out. He can't throw the football more than 15 yards. Anything more than 15 yards, I would love to see his stats on his pick percentage. Like, I bet it's ridiculous. I bet it's astounding. And he doesn't want to play football. He doesn't want to. Like, how do you go into week two if knowing that this is an early division rivalry, right, that we got murdered in last year, and we got the Jags coming the next week?
I mean, I don't know. For some reason, I still think he's going to play this week.
Oh, he better. Like, if he does not play this week, oh, boy. Like, are you serious? You're going to come back for the Eagles? Like, you know what I'm saying? You're going to just sleep on the two division games, or you're going to come back for the Eagles?
I mean, if I were him, I wouldn't want to play the Jags either. But, yeah, it's complicated.
He's a millennial. That's he is like everything that people hate about millennials.
Well,
that's him.
Well, the thing is, it's usually the coaching staff's job to protect the player from, like, you know, like, it's kind of one of those things. Like, if they're like, you know what, we think we can win with Blaine Gabbert this week. This game isn't as important. Now it's a division game, so all of them are important. But you can say like this game isn't as important as, you know, the Jacksonville game.
Yeah,
I could see a coach, you know, saying, you know what, like, or it was kind of like with the Matt Stafford thing in week one where it was like they're getting killed. It's like, why is Matt Stafford still in the game?
Yeah.
Like,
they did, like, take him out eventually.
I know, but like there was still a point where like they put Castle in for like a drive.
Yeah.
And next, but it's like sometimes you just gotta cut your losses. Like, you know what? Like, we're down like two or three scores. We're probably not gonna win this game, you know, or if you just say, hey, you know what, we can think we can win it with Gabbert for this game. And they did. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that probably doesn't make him very comfortable going into Jacksonville. But
I think Vrabel is kind of fed up with him. I think the plan was initially to have them both play, like have Mariota come out and try and see what he was doing, see how they could manage it. And I think once Mariota came out and said, I'm still tingly.
I think this would be an even bigger story if they had lost.
And then the fact that he called it a late and low hit is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There was nothing wrong with that hit other than the fact that our quarterback's soft. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's an RPO. You're running, and you get hit. He didn't get hit. He got hit here. He just had his elbow here. Like, I don't want to hear it. Like,
I mean, like I said, if they would have lost, it would have been an even bigger story. You know,
we are so lucky that when Blaine came out, and I'm telling you, when Mariota threw that pick in the second game, and I saw his face, I was like, oh, he's hurt in his mind. He's not hurt on his arm. He's hurt in his mind. His pride's hurt. He threw two terrible picks, and he just
it's weird because you know, his first 2 years in the Gabbert league, especially his second year, he was so good about not throwing interceptions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then last year, he threw more interceptions than he threw touchdowns.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, even if you go back to the Chiefs-Titans wildcard game, his big play in that game
was a pass to himself!
That's
the other thing, is people are like, well, Marcus, and I was like, let's not talk about that game.
I was like, that ball should have been picked off.
I've watched that game multiple times, and there's nothing you can sit there and watch that game and be like, man, Mariota, huh? You know what I'm saying? Like,
And they had like a drive or two against the Patriots where you're okay, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just.
The best thing that ever happened to us was getting blown out by the Patriots.
Oh, because if they would have played a close game, they're not fine. I mean, what do you think if they played a close game against the Patriots, they're firing Mularkey?
It seemed like they should have.
They predetermined that they were like. I almost felt like it was like when they won the Chiefs game. I was like, oh man, can they even fire?
That well, the plan was to fire him once we lost to the Chiefs, and then we accidentally beat the Chiefs, and then they were like, shit. Like, so then they're like, New England. Like,
I'll tell you this: I was mad when the Titans beat the Chiefs, not only because I don't like the Titans, but because I was like, well, goes the chance of somebody beating the Patriots. Like, right. I was like, the Chiefs could probably beat the Patriots. I was like, the Titans don't stand a chance.
No, absolutely not. And we got blown out, and then I was like, cool. Like, thank God we're getting rid of Mike Mularkey now. And then someone over the offseason was like, I can't believe you fired Mike Mularkey. And I was like, you don't watch the games, man, okay? Like, you don't watch how that man, right? You want to know why Blaine Gabbert is a Tennessee Titan? Because Mike Mularkey let him beat us. Mike Mularkey went for it on 4th and 6 in the R30-yard line and failed and let Blaine Gabbert come and beat us. All right? Like, he made our secondary look trash. Malcolm Butler.
Oh, it still probably isn't very good.
It's not. I will say I do like Vaccaro over Cyprian. I do.
Oh, Jonathan Cyprian is garbage.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the best things that happened to our defense. I think Malcolm Butler has gotten burned 2 straight weeks on people that he shouldn't have been burned by. I think Adoree Jackson's the man. I think Logan Ryan. I think Kamale Correa that we got from the Ravens is one of the biggest steals. I think that's one of the best things that happened to us.
Yeah, I mean, and
Harold Landry.
Harold Landry's he's
really, a monster. And he's going to be a monster for some time. And we really need
him.
Maybe
they'll finally break Derek Morgan's 7-sack season. Oh yeah,
dude, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, I was so all this led into. I'm kind of pumped about West Virginia this year, but like I don't want to get my hopes up because just like the Tennessee Titans, West Virginia
is one of those programs where it's like, you know, they're going to get like between 7 and 9 wins. And it almost kind of where like Maryland was under Ralph Regan.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I remember they fired Ralph Regan. They were like, well, it was because we want a higher ceiling as a team.
Yeah.
We don't want to win 7, 8, 9 games every year. We want to
shout out to
we want to win the ACC championship. Yeah. And I remember sitting there at the time, and I was younger, but I was like, this sounds pretty dumb.
Yeah.
And it's like, now they've had like 1 or 2 8-win seasons since.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things, like, careful what you wish for sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'll say it was the Lions. Like, Jim Caldwell had 2 straight 9-win seasons, and they're like, you know what we need? To fire this guy. Like, and bring in Matt Patricia. And I don't want to give up on Matt Patricia 2 games in. And, but it's already, when you already have stuff where like players are complaining about like the coach.
Like, and teams knew what the plays were going to be called.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things where it's like, because, like, once you lose a locker room, that's when, like, I remember when Mularkey was the Jags coach. He's only the Jags coach for 1 season, but it was clear he lost a locker room. And once you lose a locker room in the NFL, it doesn't matter how good of a coach you are. You can't be the coach of that team anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you guys ready for pick'ems? Because it's about that time.
Yep.
We'll start in college. Texas A&M goes to Alabama.
Alabama.
Jesus Christ, roll tide.
If the spread were like 35 points, I'd still pick Alabama. Like,
And Sebastian picked Alabama as well, guys. Kansas State goes to West Virginia.
I'll pick WVU.
West Virginia.
I'm going to take them as well, even though, like
it's
I said.
At West Virginia, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that's.
I'll take it.
Trust me, though. We find ways. But I'm telling you, our wide receiving crew is nice. Our issue this year is we have a lot of injuries at linebacker. It's really our biggest issue. But our wide receiving crew is ridiculous. Ridiculous. I mean, I think...
I can't say that I've caught very many West Virginia games, but at least the first 3 weeks.
Check us out, man. We got the former best quarterback is now the best wide receiver. He should have won the Biletnikoff last year. He got screwed. David Sills. David Sills is the guy that Lane Kiffin offered the USC scholarship to when he was like 14.
Oh, I remember.
11, whatever his name. TCU in Texas. Sebastian picked TCU.
TCU.
I'm going to pick TCU, too. I think they're going to bounce back.
Yeah, I'll go TCU.
Arizona State versus Washington.
Washington. I feel bad for Washington because, like, I think they may be one of the best, like, six or seven teams in college football, but they just happen to face, like, another one.
Oh, I missed one. Stanford, Oregon.
Oh,
Stanford.
I'm going to go with Stanford, but I think it's going to be a really good game.
All right. We all picked Stanford. So you said Washington.
I'm going Arizona State.
Herm.
Bastard. I'm going to take ASU as well. That's I was trying to set him up. And so both you and I picked Arizona State and Sebastian and Jimmy picked Washington. All right, on to the NFL. The Jets heading to Cleveland.
Browns. They're going to get their first win in like 6 days. Browns.
Sebastian picked the Browns. I'm picking the Browns.
God loves Jags.
The Jets.
Jets.
Oh, they said Jags. I'm sorry.
No.
Browns.
No, they're playing the Jags. I would.
Yeah, I would not be like Browns. Yeah. All right. So then we have. Unfortunately, we have two snoozers in the local games. We have Green Bay and Washington.
Green Bay.
Green Bay.
Everybody's saying Green Bay over here, including myself. Denver and Baltimore.
Denver. No, I'm sorry. Baltimore.
I'm going Denver.
Yeah. I'm going Baltimore.
I think Denver is the worst 2-0 team right now.
I agree. Rams and Chargers.
The battle of two teams Los Angeles doesn't want. The Rams.
Rams.
All right, all of us pick Rams across the board. New England versus Detroit. Let's do this. Hey. Who's bouncing back from a tough loss? Am I right? Like who's
I do pick'ems at work, and I had a couple of people pick Detroit, and I was like, I mean, that's great for you.
So you guys don't watch football, huh?
I'm picking
the
Patriots after a loss in general.
Detroit.
No.
The Patriots after a loss in general, I would already be like, okay, like probably gotta go with them, but yeah.
The only thing that Matt Patricia wins at is not getting charged for things he should be charged with. Am I right? Everything he loves.
In 28th ranked defense.
Yeah.
And last but not least, Pittsburgh versus Tampa.
I want to go with Tampa and Stone because I've picked against Tampa the last 2 weeks, but I just feel like the Steelers save their season.
There's just – like that's how I feel. Like, there's no way – Pittsburgh loses this game, right? Like I'm
going with Fitzmagic.
Yeah, you know what's gonna happen? Fitzpatrick is gonna throw like a bomb to DeSean Jackson on the first play.
Did
of the
you
game
hear
again.
That Fitzmagic has actually been patented, but it
by,
was from Minka Fitzmagic?
Well, with Fitzpatrick, like he should have jumped on that like a couple years. Should have jumped on that when
dude
he was
came
the
out
Bills.
Looking like Conor McGregor.
Oh, and it was so funny. I was like, I saw that. I was like, wow, like he looked pretty swag out. Like, he must think really big of himself. I'm like, oh, he's wearing someone else's clothes.
DeSean Jackson stuff, which I was like, how do you fit into DeSean Jackson stuff? Like,
what college did he go to?
Yeah, what? I don't remember.
I don't know.
DeSean Jackson?
No,
he went to.
No, Fitzpatrick.
Oh, we know that.
No,
where
we don't.
Did DeSean Jackson go?
He went to
Cal. That's what I thought.
He went to Cal when like Marshawn Lynch was there.
Too. Yeah. Shout out to. Marshawn
kind of a
Lynch.
little crazy play.
Marshawn Lynch and Adrian Peterson should not be featured backs in the NFL anymore, though. Am I right?
I don't know how Cal's offense like sucked. They had like they had Marshawn Lynch, they had Javid Best, they had DeSean Jackson and Marvin Jones all at the same time.
You're gonna say it, aren't you?
What, Javid Best?
Yes.
What the story you always tell me?
I always tell him. I've told him like 3 times. Like
no, you've told me a lot more times than that.
A lot more times.
What happened to Javid Best?
I went to Maryland and Cal. Years ago.
Oh, the one we got jacked?
And he threw up on field?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like right there. Like,
I watched that to this day is like, people talk about like the Reggie Bush hit. Like, I remember watching that live on TV and it's, and like some of the clips now, if you go back on it, are kind of grainy.
Yeah.
But I remember watching that on TV and I was like.
That happened at the exact yard line I was seated on. Like, I was in the student section.
Oh.
And I was just watching it, and he just, I mean, he, like, vomited everywhere, all over the field. Like, it was, I guess they didn't show you that when they went to commercial. But, like, he got rocked.
That was, That was bad. Like,
and Maryland beat the hell out of Cal. Well,
I mean, that was one that was like, it was like a noon game.
Yeah,
a noon game with Cal is going across the country. And then what's funny is Maryland had like a home and home with them, so they went to Cal the next year.
Yeah,
got like absolutely spanked.
Yeah.
Javon
Best, man. A legendary Detroit Lions running back.
Marvin Jones and DeJavid Best, too. LeGarrette Blount seems to be working out really well.
Got ejected.
Did he punch a Boise State player?
Yep.
That's still one of my favorite television moments of all time. That guy's pure, like, elation and then not being there in a split second. Like, I would want that picture.
Also, it's like, if that were to happen today, it would have been, like, insanity.
Yeah.
With, like, social media and things like that.
Oh, my God. It would be a meme. It would be a meme.
Yeah.
He missed out on the meme era. Like, all right. Well, as fun as this is, we have run out of time. Well, this has been the Benchwarmers Redemption here on Dragon Digital Radio. I've been Matt Trudell.
Blaine Gabbert fan, Alex Baker.
Chippy Seatman.
Until next week, peace, stay safe, and remember, love yourself.